At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Thursday morning, October 5th, 2023. It is the Beating the Book podcast, week number 5 in the National Football League. It's the Megapod, Gil Alexander. Thank you for listening. Cannot wait to get into it. And we'll get all the records from last week squared away. Let's say hello to our staples on the show. First, from his mom's living room somewhere in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, it's Todd Wishnev playing hurt.
Hey.
You feel better this week?
What's up?
You feel better this week?
I'm 90%. I was really struggling last week, but I'm feeling better.
Okay, cool. And ladies and gentlemen, you can find him on the Bear Bets podcast, both college and pro football editions. Also, Goal Boys Network. Also on the Megapod, of course, is Will Hill. How you doing, Will?
Gilly, what's going on? Excited for week 5. Hard to believe, man. I think you were saying it this morning, and I was telling somebody else. We wait so long for these games to get here. You blink, you look up, and week 5, like, where does the season go? It goes so fast.
Try to enjoy it while it's happening, and we're trying to do that for sure. And our rotating guests continue, obviously, week after week. This week, we always are thrilled to have him on the show from Sumer Sports. It's our buddy, Dr. Eric Eager. How you doing, Eric?
Gil, guys, I share the same sentiment. I can't believe we're already in week 5.
Week 5 in the National Football League with a Bears-Commanders tilt on Thursday Night Football tonight, which I have a lot going on in this game. I have, like, Survivor, last winless team on Carolina, and first coach to be fired, Eberflus, all in this confluence of events. Sort of like the confluence of the rivers in Pittsburgh, Todd. That's what's happening to me in this game tonight. So I think I have to play Washington in Survivor tonight, which is... because we have a Thanksgiving consideration on Detroit on Thanksgiving in the Circus Survivor contest, and because I've just been too chalky, the entries that remain have been too chalky for me, so I think I have to take a chance with Washington, because otherwise I'll never get to the finish line anyway. So we'll talk about that if anybody has a play on the game tonight, which I do not, in terms of the spread or the total. First, though, Todd, the court stenographer, tells us our records from last week and our overall records. What do we got?
Pretty good record for most people last week. Gilly was 2-1. In fact, the first time ever, three of the four people picked something and it actually came in. Seattle,
yes,
unbelievably came in when both Will, Aaron Schatz, the guest, and you all had Seattle. So you went 2-1 with Jags, Seattle, and Cleveland. Will with a... oh, so that moves you to 7-5. Will had a 1-2, Cleveland, Carolina, Seattle. It looked like he was going to get there with Carolina, but then things went bad. So Will moves to 5-7. And I had a 2-1 also with under 45 in the Lions, which obviously didn't make it. And then under 42 in Pittsburgh and under 43 in Dallas. On the teaser side, I hit my teaser again. I'm 3-1. Will is 2-2 on his teasers. Oh. And Gilly, you have fallen to 1-3 on teasers.
Jeez.
So I am in first place, barely in the regular, and ahead on the teasers. Guest is 5-6-1 and 2-2 on the teasers because Aaron Schatz went 1-2 last week. And by the way, he went head-to-head against me on the under in the Dallas. He had over in the Dallas. That's like the fourth time the guest has gone head-to-head and been vanquished.
Of course.
So, yeah. Eric, be careful.
Vanquished. Hey, warning. Shots fired at Eric Eager. You best be warned. All right. Do you have any in-game thing, Toddy, from last week that you want to talk about? Anything? Don't make something up if you had something.
No, I actually had a decent in-game week last week in the NFL. I'm getting more and more into this whole idea of you have to play these games almost as two separate games, first halves and second halves in the NFL. Another game like that last week was Dallas, New England. The Miami Buffalo game, I played it over in the first half when I saw, okay, we're off to the races. Somehow that second half did not go over. So, and we're, you see this more and more where the huge over first half does not turn into a huge over second half because of the adjustments usually that the teams make. But it seems to happen more and more. So I'm getting more and more into, if you like something over in the first half early, play it just for the first half over, as opposed to playing it for the full game over. And that's, you know, been working a little bit better. The third quarters, I've had a real tremendous success with the third quarter overs in the situations where the teams are not moving. You find a team that's not moving the ball, okay, and they're not getting the ball to start the third quarter, and the other team has an incentive to run the ball. It's very, very hard for that other team to go over 3.5 on its team total in the third quarter. So I've been having some success with the Saints. I had them under 3.5 in the third quarter. I had Carolina under 3.5 in the third quarter. I mean, Carolina has a hard time scoring regardless of what quarter it is, right? But certainly in the third quarter, they're going to get their points in the fourth quarter when it's garbage time. That's the only time they're really going to be able to score. With that quarterback, you know, it's rough. So the third quarters have been real good.
I'll just repeat what I think my reaction to that was last time, which is at what percentage of books actually have third quarter lines, like end of third quarter lines? Caesars has it, I know. Where else?
No, Caesars has the end of third quarter line that's up prior, but a lot of them just have the standalone third quarter. I'm talking about at halftime where you have
the third.
Yeah, well, I'm talking about situations like in the Saints game was a perfect example where the Saints were team total under 3.5 for the third quarter and were getting the ball second.
Even that, though, is not that widespread, right?
No, that's not that widespread. Rivers has that, but you have like regular third quarters. Like I had the under 7.5 in the Ravens Browns game. It was pretty much the same idea. The Browns could not move the ball, and the Ravens had no incentive to move the ball.
No,
so. You know, the other thing that I think, one other thing that people, and I'll end it with this, teams that are ahead by a lot, don't bet them team total over in the second half. They have no incentive to score. And once you get to the fourth quarter, they may not score at all. So like, you know, people who don't bet a lot will send me a thing like, hey, what about this? Like, you know, I forget who it was. Oh, Detroit Lions were winning on Monday night, like a million to, or Thursday night. Was that Thursday night game?
Yep.
They're winning like 27-3 or something. And they were like, oh, look, it's 36.5. It's nothing. I'm like, that's a lot. Getting more than a touchdown for a team that's winning by a lot at halftime, it sounds like nothing, right? Well, it's one touchdown. I'll get a touchdown or a field goal in the third quarter or the fourth quarter. It doesn't happen. These teams, they just totally, when they're ahead by a lot, they just go into, let's just run the ball, let's get out of here.
I fell into that on the Monday night game, well, no, Sunday night game, between the Chiefs and the Jets, where it was 7, what was the score, but the Chiefs were like way up early. It was 17-0.
And it was 17-2.
Hold on.
And
it was 17-5. Okay, but it was 17-0, and the in-game line on the Chiefs, for the first half at that point, was -19.5, and for the game, it was -20.5. And I even sent a text. I was like, wait, how is this so low at this point? And, of course, it never even came close. But, I mean, I think there are opportunities where those things do absolutely get out of control also, right? But I understand your point about incentive for sure.
No, it happens. But in general, in the NFL, I guess this is the last thing I'll say. In the NFL, do not lay 18.5. I don't care what the score is. Sure, you'll win sometimes. In the long run, you will lose a ton of money.
Yeah, especially if you throw in your prime time game theory about the refs wanting to keep the TV audience going.
I mean, it's getting so blatant. It's like almost WWE now.
Yeah. Todd believes this fervently. It's not about gambling implications. It's about ratings, TV ratings implications, is what you're saying on those.
Yeah, so, I just think that you can call holding on every single play. You can call defensive pass interference, you know, defensive holding on every single play. So, I mean, what's so hard to just kill a drive with a holding penalty if there's billions of dollars riding on people keeping the TVs on?
Thursday Night Football, Will or Eric, do you have any plays on the Bears and the Commodes tonight? With the Commodes now, Washington is back to a – this has been bouncing around all morning. Literally, like, even the time that we've been doing this podcast. Now it's 6 in favor of Washington. Eric, any thoughts? As your dog, what's your dog's name?
Sadie is my parents' dog's name.
Sadie.
I think the buy price for me on Chicago, as bad as it is, 7. That price came up a few times earlier this week. I make the game more like, you know, 6.5 or so, which is right about where market is a little, you know, and 6 is a key number. 6 is a key-ish number now, but not enough for me to buy, you know, at the current, you know, at current prices. So, for me right now, if it gets to 7, I'd take a little bit of Chicago, but it's trended down from that from early week.
Will?
No, I agree with Eric. It's 7. Chicago would interest me. It's 6.5. I mean, because you throw Washington into a teaser, of course, you have to look at the money line and see what's better off there, but probably not going to have anything on this one.
Yeah, today in this ball game, Sam Howell this year ranks 34th out of 34 quarterbacks in EPA per play when facing pressure. He jumps to 20th in the league, so just shy of average when he has a clean pocket. The issue, though, is that the Bears have the second lowest pressure rate in all of football, 31st in DVOA against the pass. This year, they're secondary as well, which is losing 3 or 4 starters tonight also. So not only do they not...
It should help them.
That's right. Not only do they not exert pressure on the opposing quarterbacks, but they're also banged up on a secondary that also sucks. So those things point to Washington. But, yeah, Bears plus 7. Well, Todd, you don't have to play on this either, do you?
I lean over in this game. I'm not going to make it one of my plays, but I think the Bears are going to be an over team this year just because their defense is so god-awful. And every once in a while, Field will do something. So 44.5 sounds kind of low to me. The Washington Commanders' defense hasn't been exactly, you know, stellar. I think you got a horrible defense versus an average defense. So I'd probably look at the over. I'd lean to the over.
Washington's defense has given up a lot of big plays this year, a lot of big plays downfield. Justin Fields looked good last week. I'm just trying to get through this, just trying to get through Washington. Just give me a win, for God's sakes. I'm hoping for a win for Washington, which will get me through Survivor. Maybe that will have Eberflus fired, as gauche as that is to root for somebody to be fired. I have a bet on it. And then wait to win my Carolina last winless to a subsequent week. The worst thing that could happen to me is a tie. I'll get bounced in Survivor. Eberflus won't get tired. And Chicago still will be winless. So anyway, all those things.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts. If you dare.
All right, best bets, week number 5. Eric Eager from Sumer Sports. That's Sumer. First of all, how's that going, Eric? All good?
Things are good, yeah. Sumersports.com. We have a bunch of stats pages, a bunch of articles, podcasts, myself and Thomas Dimitrov on the every Monday and Wednesday. It's been a good time.
All right, what's your first bet for the weekend?
I think this one is very popular and it hasn't moved a ton, so it does make me a little bit nervous, especially considering the people I talk to. So there must be somebody sharp that keeps betting it on the other side. But I like Dallas plus four, Dallas plus 3.5. I think that one where, there isn't as big of a gap on either side of the ball as the market believes. And in fact, I think that the Dallas probably has a little bit of a better defense than the San Francisco 49ers. And I think Dallas is quite a bit of a better quarterback than the San Francisco 49ers. So the difference in head coach is big, but not enough to overcome those two things. Add in the fact that San Francisco is not a great home field. Santa Clara is not a great home field for the 49ers. I'm going to take the points with Dallas.
Do you not like Brock Purdy as a quarterback? You don't think he's that good?
I think Purdy's fine. I think we get carried away. Like, he's first in expected points added per dropback. That's awesome. You know, Shanahan's done cool things. Nate Tice tweeted out that picture of like them motioning Juszczyk, you know, into a position as like a lead blocker for McCaffrey on a swing pass. Like, he does all this cool stuff, right? But Dan Quinn is cooking pretty well right now. Both defenses gave up a lot to the Arizona Cardinals, which is concerning for both. But when those two defenses kind of hit the ball in the barrel of the bat, they really do hit home runs, sacks and fumbles and interceptions. In fact, Dallas has been better at that, you know, twice the sack rate and better EPA per play allowed, which is kind of signifying the turnovers and everything. So I like Purdy, but I think, you know, the only time he's been held under 30 points in a full game as a starter was Dallas last year in the playoffs and that very stadium. So I'm hoping for kind of a repeat there, just a little bit more offense from Dallas.
Cowboys plus 3.5, Todd. Is that what we see? I believe.
Yeah,
so.
I see 3.5. Yeah.
3.5. Will Hill at not the Will Hill on Twitter. Eric Eager on Twitter, by the way. Eric, you're at Eric Eager _, correct?
That's right.
Yeah. Go ahead, Will. I'm sorry.
Give me Arizona Cardinals plus the 3.
Yeah.
You were doing guessing the lines, and look, I had the same sort of reaction you did, where I was like, who's favored by how many? And I get you have your priors, but man, if you had amnesia and you only seen this season, Arizona hasn't just been the better team. They've been meaningfully better. Burrow can't move. This Arizona team is scrappy. They played like an average team, but it doesn't sound like a lot, but we expected them to be not only the worst team, but the worst team by a good margin. So I'm surprised by this line. I get the priors. I get that this was probably 8 or 9 in the summer, but I will take Arizona plus the 3.
It was my second biggest difference in a guess and an actual line when I guessed it on Monday in the history of guessing lines. So I had Arizona by 1.5 and it was Cincinnati by 4, and I was incredulous. And I bet it at 4. It's obviously 3 now. So I'm gonna jump in. That's my number one pick too, Arizona plus 3. And again, could we be wrong? Sure. But Joe Burrow can't move. And he's in shotgun and he every play and he can't move. And Arizona, as Eric just talked about, comported themselves very well, although in defeat against both Dallas and San Francisco. That team is so much better than we thought they were going to be. Josh Dobbs arriving there like a second before the season started. I don't get that. I just don't get that line. So Arizona plus 3 for me. Sorry to jump.
I mean, Arizona has played well, but let's be honest. When they're down 19 with 20 seconds to go on wide open passes at the 2-yard line, they're the worst team in the league.
Yeah, that did need to be noted.
Yeah. I had Arizona Cardinal team total over 20.5, and all I needed was the backdoor easy touchdown. Dobbs right over the middle to Ertz at the 2. He falls in the end zone, but he drops the ball. And then, of course, in the next play, they drop the ball in the end zone. So 2 drops to crush my backdoor covering. But the only reason I'm nervous about your Arizona, it looks so obvious. It looks so obvious that Arizona plus 3 is the right thing to do here that it just scares the bejesus out of me. Because if I've learned anything betting in the National Football League over the years is when it looks that obvious, be very careful.
Here was my notes for guessing lines on what you just talked about. I go, 35-16, San Francisco goes methodically, surgically, clinically downfield. 1:59 left, but spread still in doubt. Last 2 plays from the 15, Ertz drops a short touchdown pass. Then Zach Pascal can't make the catch in the corner of the end zone. What an escape for Niners backers and a brutal loss for Todd Wishnev and Cards backers everywhere.
Just an absolute brutal loss. I mean, the second one, the guy, that would have been a great catch if the guy would have made it. But the Zach Ertz one, I mean, come on, Zach. They're giving you a touchdown. I mean, come on.
It's like this. It's like it's Plinko or something. All right, Todd, I stepped in front of you. What is your first best bet?
my top pick. Last week I did real nice with the unders. I'm going to go right back to the old proverbial woodshed again, and I'm going to take the under 43 in the Titans-Colts game. Obviously the Titans are they're set up to be an under team, good defense. They're going to try to run the ball constantly. That Colts game was kind of fugazi. They were losing 23-0 at the half, and then all of a sudden it was like, 23-15, and here come the Colts and everything. I'm just not a real – I mean, sure, the Colts could be okay. Sure, Anthony Richardson can be fun and all that. But now you're going up against Vrabel. And Vrabel is good at cooking up Belichickian defensive goulashes for people. And I have a feeling he's gonna cook up a Belichickian goulash for young Anthony Richardson. And they're just going to grind out a typical Titans-type game that ends 20-16 or – 21-17 or something like that. And it's just going to be the Titans games it's very hard for Titans games to go over. Throw out the Charger game, and the rest of the games this season have been purely Titan-ness, which is they're going to grind out minutes. In the National Football League, you can have 8-minute drives with the Titans. It's no big deal. You're already at the third quarter is almost over already.
The Titans are If the Titans were a variable, the Chargers would be one divided by that variable. They're like the exact opposite teams.
Yes.
Like the Chargers disappoint you, and the Titans consistently surprise you.
That's exactly right. That's so true.
And they do it both. And they do it both the exact opposite ways. One with high flying offense, the other with smoke and mirror defense.
One games are watchable. The other games you don't want to watch.
That's right.
You do if you have under 7.5 in the third quarter.
We did an adjusted season win total segment on a numbers game this week, and my gut reaction was Cardinals over 4.5 and Carolina under whatever they were. I think they were 5.5. But doing it the proper way, forget about my gut reaction, doing it the proper way, which is what was the result of last week's game, and then take what the adjusted season win total was before that game and look at what it is now. Did it adjust properly? The answer to the question about where the value is may very well be the Tennessee Titans over 8.5. Because they won that game against Cincinnati. Their season win total did not adjust at all. And if you look at their schedule, even if you're super conservative, if you do the whole win-loss, win-loss, win-loss thing, getting to 9 ain't the most difficult thing in the world. Like, it's super plausible. So I think the Titans over is the best adjusted season win total out there, quite frankly.
By the way, speaking of those adjusted totals, I wanted to bet Arizona over 4.5, and I still might do it. But their schedule's not that easy.
Right.
it's gonna be rough to get 4 more wins.
Well, so that was my gut reaction. Oh, go ahead, Eric. I'm sorry.
Yeah, and we've seen this song and dance before. Like, the Bears last year were 3-2, and then never won again, and then still haven't won again. Like, the teams that are like encouraging but not good, that should be tanking, almost always, like Seattle's a counterexample, but the teams that like are encouraging but not good, they almost always like get injured, and then the depth on the roster shows up. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if the Cardinals picked first, and in such a way where, much like Matt Eberflus last year, no one going into this offseason thought Matt Eberflus was going to get fired. Everybody's like, oh, cool on them for getting the first pick, and Justin Fields looked great. It was perfect, right? And then, like, obviously, we've seen what happens. Like, Jonathan Gannon has been very encouraging, but I would still bet on the Cardinals to be the first pick.
Really? You think the Cardinals are going to have the worst, even worse than Carolina?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Really?
Okay. Well, Carolina has zero incentive to pick first because it's not their pick. And neither does Houston. And so, really, it's like a two-team race. I mean, you can kind of count the Giants, but the Giants aren't picking a quarterback because of Daniel Jones's contract. I still think like the Bears are going to need some pride. Those guys don't want to get fired. And Arizona's playing with house money already. So if they are competitive for another month and then the wheels fall off and they get the first pick and then Houston's pick, this would be a really successful season. More successful than basically anybody but like the Super Bowl participants, frankly.
It's interesting. Right now, what Eric was alluding to, Chicago has both the first and second pick in the draft. if it were to end in any order between Chicago and Carolina, that because of the Bryce Young trade or the trade for the number one pick that ended up being Bryce Young for the Carolina Panthers.
Oh, I was just talking about having the worst record, not having the first pick. I just think Carolina's the worst team.
They could be, but like I think Arizona. I mean, look, Arizona pissed that game against the Giants down their leg. Like in some ways, they and frankly, Dallas got into the red zone in what like four of the like the, or the last six drives or something like that in the game that they actually won. It was just a Dak. It was one of those Dak privilege games where he throws like five picks. That happens four times a year. Like Arizona's not trying to win. Like they're competitive and they're not a joke. But make no mistake, they're not trying to win.
Yeah,
I don't know if I'd buy. I don't know if I'd buy that in the NFL as much as I do in some of the other sports, as to these guys not trying to win. I think that's a little far.
The players try to win. The coaches try to win. But when your quarterback is Josh Dobbs, like, what do you expect to happen? You know, like Josh Dobbs is like slightly better than Bryce Young right now, but no upside. So by season's end, Bryce Young should be better than Josh Dobbs, right? Like Josh Dobbs is a perfect like go 1-16 quarterback. But be able to evaluate your players. That's the perfect tank, is like have the quarterback be good enough to learn that Zach Ertz can't catch anymore. But also
no, he's good during the game, just not in the last drive.
No, I think, but aren't we saying, I mean, I don't think the two things, I think both things are true. What Eric is saying is true, right? We talked about this NBA tank, Tankapalooza, which is it's never the players on the court. It's the construction of who you're playing at what times and that kind of thing, right? Where like Rick Carlisle.
I just think it's harder to control it though.
Yeah.
But it's harder to control it.
Just finishing the thought. Yes. Finishing the thought but the players on the field are always going to try. So I think the Cardinals have set it up for failure, but I think when they see the product on the field, they might be like, wait a minute.
Yeah. Like why did the Bears get the first pick last year? The Bears got the first pick last year because they had a coach who ostensibly was safe. In a first year Matt Eberflus. So in the final game against the Vikings, they play what's his name? Nathan Peterman. Nathan Peterman's actually somewhat effective. So they put Tim Boyle in, right? Just to make sure that game is a loss. Whereas Lovie Smith in Houston is like not safe and wins that game and ends up getting fired. Like so I don't necessarily know if like Jonathan Gannon's not going to get fired no matter what the Arizona Cardinals record is this year. So I think that it's perfectly acceptable. Like I'm pretty sure we're going to get a Marquise Brown injury. That's not really an injury. Same thing for some of the O linemen and D linemen and Buda Baker's already had a similar situation where he hasn't played yet. Like I think the Cardinals, I'd be willing to bet that the Cardinals don't get the Cardinals still get the first pick.
Okay.
Are you betting under 4.5 wins then, Eric?
Oh yeah. Easy.
You would. Okay.
Interesting.
Do you think Matt Eberflus gets fired if the Bears lose to the Commanders tonight?
The Bears have never fired a coach midseason, if I'm not mistaken.
That is correct.
So that's a trend. The other part is, and I talked about this on my podcast with Thomas yesterday, Matt Eberflus and Ryan Poles have the same agent, Trace Armstrong and Athletes First, same agency. I don't think they fire Eberflus as quickly as people believe.
Okay. We're snaking here. So my second pick is going to be the Houston Texans. I think the wrong team is favored here. I actually guessed Pick'em on a numbers game, but Atlanta's a slight favorite here. I'll take the 1.5 points on this. I think Houston's a better football team. I believe that the Atlanta Falcons are that team. You know, remember, Todd, how you had that year where you were just kept betting Tampa Bay overs and the market never adjusted. I think that's the case, at least here in the early season with the Atlanta Falcons. I think I've bet against them at least two or three of these weeks so far. I didn't understand that line in London against Jacksonville. And my deep dive analysis is, has anybody seen Desmond Ridder play football yet? And I just don't think he's that. Like, I don't know how they. Eric, you had a great tweet. I'm glad this triggered in my head. You had a great tweet this week. You'll be able to word it better than I will. Can you repeat what it was about Desmond Ridder? Because I think you contextualized it great.
Why it said that he's not going to be able to hide behind a 1 p.m. slate?
No, that you said, has there ever been a team?
Oh, yeah. has there ever, I mean, Sam Howell is like, was in this category until he showed that he's viable, which he is, I think. But like, has there ever been a team with aspirations that has gone into a season with a quarterback as bad as Desmond Ridder and no like young guy in the wing? It's been a long time. Like, it's been DeShone Kizer, maybe.
Yeah. I loved it because people
it's
kept
been
coming,
a long time.
People kept coming with examples, and Eric kept shooting him down. Like, yeah, like, but he was better than.
Yeah, like Christian Ponder is better than Desmond Ridder. Is like
right.
DeShone Kizer is probably better than him too. So it's actually like a really tough. It's actually hard to go back. John Beck and Rex Grossman was probably the best answer in 2011, the pre-RG3 year.
Oh, God. Oh, I remember it
Desmond
well.
Desmond Ridder was horrendous at Cincinnati. You know, when I say I hate Jordan Love because I didn't like him at Utah State, I couldn't stand Desmond Ridder at Cincinnati. He wasn't good. He was a running quarterback, and they were like much better, and so that he would hit a guy wide open. He wasn't an NFL quarterback. I love how these teams, like Eric is saying, they come up with, Desmond Ridder, he's going to be good this year. Why? Why, Gilly? Why is Desmond Ridder going to be good this year?
Yeah.
He's not good. He's never been good.
Well, and by
a lot of like a lot of the analysts thought, like, I remember specifically a tweet that said, if you don't see it in Desmond Ridder, you don't know what you're looking for in a quarterback. And like, that stuck in my, because I didn't see it. And like, I watched him play Alabama, and I'm like, a lot of balls are getting batted down because he's a slow processor, and he's still a slow processor. So I was apparently, I didn't know ball well enough to see it in Desmond Ridder. So it's been kind of fun to watch. I don't want to see somebody fail, but like, it's been interesting to be like, have it confirmed that it's like, he was an old college quarterback that played on a great team. And then when competition got better, he's terrible. So it's crazy, frankly, that Atlanta's gone into the year with him as
well,
a quarterback.
And then the other part of this is C.J. Stroud has been everything that I thought he would be. This is why, by the way, I got killed on the NFL draft for the first time ever. I got beat on the NFL draft this year, and it was because I was so insistent. I was like, Carolina, they got to be trading to draft C.J. Stroud. Like, what am I not seeing? And Bryce Young is too small. I mean, so far, everything that's happened in this NFL season so far has corroborated that. And the reason that I bet Carolina last winless, not only because of their schedules, because I thought Bryce Young would be overmatched. C.J. Stroud has been everything. Like, I don't know what happened between the college football season and the NFL draft that people convinced themselves C.J. Stroud wasn't the guy to pick number one.
It was the S2 cognitive test.
Right.
Right. Something silly like that. But it does show you, by the way, like, I Thomas Dimitroff's my boss. He was a 12-year NFL GM, twice executive of the year. Like, he's one of the best. But like, it's not always that way, right? Like, these teams make decisions, and sometimes it's not even the GM. Sometimes it's the owner, right? And so when the owner decides, I like the cut of his jib, they're gonna draft him, right? Like, it's as simple as that sometimes.
The cut of his what did you say?
His jib.
Cut of his jib.
Cut of his jib. Jib? I don't know
yeah,
that.
That's like a phrase. Like, I like the way he talks. I like the way he.
I never heard that expression. Wow.
Yeah.
I'm like,
the other thing is, if you watch college football and you look and you watch enough college football, Sam Howell at North Carolina looked like an NFL quarterback running an NFL offense.
Yes.
Desmond Ridder looked like a guy on a great college team, not running an NFL offense, running a specifically college-looking offense. And I don't know why these guys can't see it. It's unbelievable sometimes.
It is the most. The NFL draft is the most inexact science we will ever see. It really is.
Oh, and by the way, the Texans are beating people up
too.
What'd you say, Will?
It's strange how loyal they are to him, too. It's not like you picked the kid eighth in the draft. You picked them 74th. You took a flyer. It's not working. Like, they're sticking with him. Like, they have a lot invested with him, which is why I don't know if these are up yet. I would probably look to play an under prop for Ridder on Sunday, either passing yards, completions, whatever, maybe just all of them. If he throws an early pick, if he goes three and out a couple times, do we see – I mean, you got to figure we see Heinicke at some point.
Taylor Heinicke.
They were talking about it last week, right?
Yeah.
Which he's not the answer either, by the way, but he's okay. He can,
but they'll win football games with him. They will. They'll win their share. Anyway,
the easiest schedule in the NFL per Sumer Sports the rest of the year.
By the way, I'm glad you brought that up, Eric, because the last thing I wanted to say about the season win totals discussion, where I was like, okay, my instincts were Carolina under, Arizona over, but if I did it by lack of adjustment, Tennessee over is actually the best season win total. The other instinct was, these NFC South teams, like Atlanta's 9.5. I mean, that's got to be an under. But then you look at their schedule and you're like, I'm not betting that. Like, they could win.
They just went through the tough stretch of their schedule.
Yeah.
In the craziest way. Green Bay, Jacksonville, and I can't remember who they lost to. Detroit. That's the hard stretch of their schedule.
Yeah.
It's insane.
Anyway, I do like Houston here. I know it's not the deepest dive analysis, but as long as the wrong team is favored, I'll take the Texans as my number two. Todd? Arizona being my number one.
By the way, the Houston won that game without a white upback running back a touchdown. That's another key factor.
Yeah, that happened. Todd, okay, we mentioned this last week, but Todd and I spent an inordinate amount of time that Sunday night. Todd was so messed up about the fact that what was the guy's name? Beck? Andrew Beck had fumbled that punt and ran it back for a punt return. Kickoff. Correct.
Kickoff.
That's correct. It was a kickoff. Ran back a kickoff for a touchdown. That we found out all kinds of stats about, historically, about punts and kickoffs. Namely, that Devin Hester returned 14 kickoffs, was it? Or punts? To the
and
house.
The other thing we found out was white guys who are upbacks don't run back kickoffs.
That's what you
I
found
think out. We found that out.
I think you found that out. That's what you were searching for. All right, what's your number two pick, Todd?
My number two pick is going to be the under 40. What do you got? 45 in the Dallas game? Is that what you have?
Yes, sir. 45. Yes.
Under 45 in the Dallas game. Okay. So here's the thing. You know, all of a sudden, everyone wants to anoint Purdy the greatest guy ever. Let's be honest. They've done a tremendous job, the coaching staff, and putting him in positions to look good. They've got 8 million amazing players, McCaffrey, Ayuk, Sam, you know, the Kittle. They could just throw it all over the place. Amazing, amazing, amazing. They have not exactly played the toughest defensive, got teams. Some of these teams are pretty bad on defense that they've been just going up and down the field against. So I think this week, this game could look a lot like the playoff game. I believe the playoff game, was it 17-10? What was the final in that playoff game last year when they played each other?
It was 20-13.
Yeah, it was kind of a low scoring. I think we're going to see more of that. I think Purdy, they're not going to be able to just do whatever they want on offense because, hey, we're just rolling it out here and we're the Niners. We're going to score a million points. I think finally they're going to be challenged on defense. And on the other side, Dallas can't get a touchdown inside the 20. Inside the 20-yard line, the Dallas Cowboys cannot move the football. And again, it's not like they won that game last week because they played so well on offense. They won because Mac Jones gave them the game. Now, granted, they probably would have won the game anyways, but they're not some juggernaut offensive team that gets inside the 20 and then just punch it in. No, they have problems punching the ball in, and the Niners defense is good enough, I guarantee you, to give Dallas a lot of trouble getting the ball in if they get in the red zone again. So 45 is kind of on the high-ish side this year. I think it's too many points. I think under 45, we see like a 24-20 game or a 20-17 game. You know, under 45, it's too many points.
Are we just waving off the Brock Purdy thing? Like, in other words, I get it. He's surrounded by great players. But, like, did you see that Brian Baldinger thing on Twitter this week where he was just gushing over Brock Purdy's decision-making and his quick decision making and all the things he does on a football field. I'm just wondering, like, if he will go down. I know Tom Brady was a 6th-round pick, so currently he's the worst ever assessed draft pick in the history of drafts, I guess. But like Brock Purdy was the last pick in the draft. I wonder if he will be known as something akin to that one day.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's probably Tony Romo being undrafted one.
Yeah.
There are other players that aren't Tom Brady like that are probably going to be, but yeah, if you throw Brady out, he's close if he continues
Kurt
his
Warner.
Path.
Mm-hmm.
Kurt Warner, sure.
By the way, Jimmy Garoppolo went to the Super Bowl with that coaching staff, and now we take that coaching staff away from him, and Jimmy Garoppolo all of a sudden is not exactly Garoppolo anymore. He's more like Garoppolo. Okay,
I don't know.
So to me.
I was going to say, I don't know if he'll win, but he'll get MVP votes. And I think he is live to win. I think that team's like a 13-14 win team. He will get MVP votes.
Yeah. I just bet him. I was telling Will. I just bet Brock Purdy offensive player of the year at 75-1. So while everybody's zigging, I'm zagging on this. I know it's like we.
By the way, he might be the best, Gilly. I'm not saying that he might not turn into have one of the greatest NFL seasons because of the scenario that he's put in. Yeah. He's got a great coaching staff. He's got amazing things next to him. I just don't think he's this. You know, I think it's more because of that than he's just so great. I think if you punched in Kenny Pickett on the Niners, all of a sudden people would be like, "Wow, Kenny Pickett looks decent."
Easy.
You know,
easy. I don't know. Easy. Easy.
I'm not saying he'd be good. Yeah. My point is that a lot more of these quarterback play has to do with, you know, everyone killed Daniel Jones.
Right.
Me and you.
I was just going to say, no, if you put Purdy on the Giants, what would he look like? I agree with that a little bit.
Daniel Jones is not that bad. If you have 0.0 seconds to throw the ball, you're going to get sacked.
No, there's no question that.
Todd, love you to death. Daniel Jones sucks. Like, okay. End this thing right
Eric,
here.
Maybe
like,
I'm going. Eric, maybe I'm going a little far with Daniel Jones.
Yeah,
I'm like, just saying.
If you put Kirk Cousins on this Niners team, they're unstoppable. Yeah. That's probably a better point.
There you go.
Yeah,
that's a great point. Maybe I'm going a little far with Daniel Jones. My point. I was just using Daniel Jones as the example of there was nothing he could do the other night to play well.
No, but
right?
there's no question that football is the sport where you're most dependent on your teammates, right? Basketball, if you have talent, you have talent, you're going to shine. And what it makes for is these endlessly unsolvable hypotheticals, right? That we can discuss forever. Like I always used to say, if Peyton Manning was drafted by Washington and had a different coordinator every single year, would we have known him as Peyton Manning in the end? Here he had he had pedigree because he had his dad. Would he have been better than Succitude? Probably, but he wouldn't have won anything. And I can't prove that, right? But I just know from watching Washington. It also works in reverse. Like, we think of a lot of guys as just having horrible careers. Well, we don't know. Like, what was Will? I think it was you who said, if you put Mac Jones on the Dolphins, was this you who said this? And you put Tua on the Patriots, what does that look like? I don't know.
Yes, because I've always, like, look, he's got video game numbers, and he's a really polarizing player, Tua. But I don't know, like, if you put him on the Giants or, I don't know, what's a random team?
2021 Dolphins?
Say again.
Yeah, Tua.
If you put Tua on the 2021 Dolphins, he sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah, good point. Good way of putting it. And Fitzpatrick always came in and played well. That was Tua's rookie year, right? So it's fascinating. It really is interesting that he's so well set up there.
All right.
If you put Tua on the Giants, he'd be dead. He would literally be dead. Brain damage or dead.
Okay. All right. We don't need a whole medical report on it.
Well, I'm explaining that if you get sacked enough times, you're going to die.
I know. Right. Okay. Did you already give your number two pick? Where are we? I can't even remember anymore.
I just gave
it under.
Will, what's your number two?
I will stick that with that same game. No, you know what? Yeah, I'll stick with the same game. I'll take Dallas plus the 3.5. I had San Francisco in the playoff game last year, and I won it. I just felt like I was on the wrong side. I thought Dallas really outplayed them for large stretches of that game. Dak threw a couple bad interceptions. Dallas dropped, I think, one or two interceptions. I think one of them they were about to run in. Remember, Pollard got hurt. Dallas had kicking issues. I just think this is like a grinded out 23-20 type of game. Remember, I think the summer line on this was basically a pick 'em. So, I mean, I know San Francisco's good, but beating the Cardinals, the Rams, the Giants, the Steelers, are we upgrading them by 4 points? I think it's too much. I'll take the points here.
Okay. Eric, you get your second and your third because we're snaking here.
For sure. I'm going to take over 44.5 in tonight's game.
Okay.
Washington, Chicago. I think the two things that really make this offense, both of these offenses suck, is that both quarterbacks have incredibly high sack rates. Sam Howell, that was the one thing, Todd, when you were talking about, he did look like an NFL quarterback, except for the sack rates at North Carolina. They were high, and they stayed high. Justin Fields is the same thing in Chicago. That be that as it may, Chicago has like 21 sacks in the last like 21 games or something. It's incredible how bad they are at rushing the passer. Washington's a tad better, but Fields also has the escapability, the ability to hit a 70-yard play. DJ Moore's, you know, Jahan Dotson, Terry McLaurin, all of them, you know, Curtis Samuel, and then the running backs in this game are actually pretty explosive. I actually like over in this game. It won't be 12-7 like last year's game.
Oh, who could forget that classic? Yeah. All right, what's your other one?
My other one, actually, this is going to go against literally everything we just talked about probably like 15 minutes ago. -1 is too low for Atlanta. Priors matter. Atlanta's really good, I think, at both lines of scrimmages, right? Offense, my boss Thomas drafted that whole line. Defensively, they have Onyemata, Campbell, you know, Bud Dupree's been fine. Like they, and defensively, like Jesse Bates is like picked off rookies, like basically his whole career. And now he's in Atlanta. Like I make the game actually 3. Even after adjusting my priors down on Atlanta and up on Houston, I think at some point, at some point, the injuries, which are getting better for Houston on both lines of scrimmages, do have to count. And I think they do count here against Arthur Smith and the Falcons.
That's what by the way, Drew Densick was on. He'll be on the Megapod here in the coming weeks. But he was on a numbers game earlier this week. And he was saying the biggest, and I thought it was a really good point, the biggest issues with handicapping the NFL thus far this season is that cluster injuries haven't manifested. I'll sort of paraphrase it that way. That like teams that have suffered a lot of injuries, like Seattle on their offensive line, they just seem to overcome it. And
Ravens.
Ravens just play through all their injuries. So, all right, we're oppo. Me and Eric are oppo on that one. God help us both. Will,
I don't like your pick either, Gilly, just because the Texans looked so good against Pittsburgh. I mean, I don't like Atlanta either, so I'm gonna stay off.
Well,
that,
you know what? I didn't really ask your opinion. How about that? I didn't really care to know what you thought about
problem.
It.
Huh. No problem.
All right, it's Will's turn, by the way. It's not your turn.
Wait, it's Will's turn, but 1 second. I think we're hearing something from Atlanta. Oh. Do you hear that?
There we go.
Ritter back to pass in a 17-all game, a minute and a half to go. What? That's in the corner. Touchdown, Falcons. They're going to get out of here with a W.
That's where the autism always kicks in at some point during the show. There we go. All right, Will, what do you got? By the way, have you watched? Have I brought this up? I think I brought it up on a numbers game, but not on this podcast. Have you watched on Netflix Love on the Spectrum? Have you watched that at all?
I haven't.
It is so heartwarming and life affirming. Like, it's just this genuine. So there's all kinds of people on the spectrum, and there's this genuine search for love, and it comes from this innocence. This place of innocence that is so pure and so heartwarming. Like there's one guy on there that I just want to hang out with him all day long. It's just, I couldn't recommend it enough. Love on the Spectrum on Netflix. There's my,
it's about football players who are artistic.
No, it's nothing to do with football. I'm sorry. It's nothing to do with that. It's my documentary.
Is it about Bryce Love, the former running back for Stanford?
Oh, dude, can I just tell you that he was with Washington. I'm a firm believer that him playing hurt at Stanford ruined his football career.
Easily. I think that's he would have been an NIL hero, and instead he got kind of screwed.
Oh, he was so good. So good.
I remember betting them on a Friday night game. It was maybe against Stanford or something. He just ran wild. He was incredible.
He was incredible. Incredible. All right. Anyway.
All right. Pittsburgh Steelers +4. This is a lot of points for a Steelers-Ravens game. These games are always close. They're always low scoring. Tomlin's great as a dog. He's great off of a loss. If you watch the press conference, he says, hey, changes are coming. He was annoyed with how they played against Houston, so you're buying low here. I just feel like all these games end 17-14, 20-17. Give me the Steelers +4. Does anyone on this podcast know what that would sound like in Pittsburgh on Sunday if the Steelers are able to rally and win this game or cover this number?
I have a feeling, but first, my biggest issue is where you're going to park down there. You can't park anywhere that near the stadium unless you got the special passes at the Rivers Casino. So you better get yourself some passes. Otherwise, I don't know how you're going to eat your lunch meal. I don't know how you're going to eat your dinner meal. You're not going to have any time because you're walking a mile to get back to your car and that. Sure, the game's going to end 2017. Will's going to go home happy and all. But I'm not sure that Pittsburgh Steelers are going to be on the right side of things. That's all I'll say.
You had to ask.
Todd, the real question about the Steelers, though, is have you interacted on Twitter with @DannyFootball77, who appears to be the burner for Matt Canada? You guys heard about this, right?
No. Are you serious?
Yeah, I heard he did a burner, I heard.
So somebody did one of those, like, you know, password recovery things, and it, like, you know, it gives the email, but with, like, certain things you know, asterisked out. And it was like, you know, M asterisk C asterisk at S T and then a bunch of asterisks.com. And it's, so it's Matt Canada. It's like he signed up for a Twitter burner under his like .NFL.Steelers.NFL email. And so people, and like the guy is tweeting through it every, like he's out there calling the Raiders Oakland. It's an amazing, Todd, you got to get in this guy's mentions. Tell him to start giving the ball to George Pickens more.
Oh no, I heard about this, that, and I heard that he signed up with his own email address, which is the funniest part of the whole story.
Wow. All right, Todd, I'm sorry, go ahead.
That's the whole like Rob Pizzola. How do you bet real money on this league when you know that the actors are, you know, relatively clownish sometimes?
Yeah, we could say that about a lot of sports. Todd, what's your next one?
My third pick is going to be one more under. It's going to be the J-E-T-S, Jets, under 43.5. Is that what you guys have?
Checking. Doop-ba-ba-doop-ba-ba-doop-ba-boop. Yep, 43.5. Well,
okay.
Well, hold on.
Yeah,
more 43.5 than 43s. You're right.
I'm going to go with 43.5 under in the Jets game. Okay, fool me once, my fault. Fool me twice, your fault. Fool me three times, the other guy's fault. Whatever they say about that whole thing about whose fault fool them.
I think it's shame on you, shame on me, but sure.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
The point that I'm trying to make is mazel tov to Mr. Zach Wilson for moving the ball. Mazel tov, congratulations, whatever language you want to say it in. I'm happy for you, Mr. Wilson, that you finally moved the ball a little bit. I'm not sold, okay? I still don't think you're any good. I still don't think the Jets are any good on offense. They're a defensive football team. They might come out and win the game in Denver against an incredibly pathetic defense at Denver. But come on, Zach Wilson, just because you played tough in front of the Swifties doesn't mean you're going to be able to play good, you know, on the road now in Denver. And I think Robert Saleh and everybody in Jets world knows that. And they're going to play real close to the vest and say, look, we have the best unit on the field. What's the best unit on the field? The Jets defense is the best unit on the field. Let's let our defense win it. Let's go back to John Fox football. Don't make a mistake. Finish 9-7. Let the other team lose the game to you. Jets win one of those grind it out 21-17 games, and let's stick our sorries in a sack. It's not time yet, Mr. Zach Wilson, for you to be anointed an actual NFL quarterback because you played good a little bit. You know, give me a break. Under 43.5, Jets.
Chris Collinsworth and Mike Tirico bent over backwards. Trying to praise Zach Wilson no matter what he did, like the slightest good
Zach,
thing.
Unbelievable. What a play, Zach, on that little swing pass. I've never seen a better swing pass.
Yeah.
They were talking about Zach Wilson like parents whose like kid is 40 years old living at home talk about their kid.
Yes.
That's like, so Zach, well, he did so that. Well today.
My mom does that still, so, you know, go ahead.
Zachy was able to drive his way to the grocery store today. Like, I mean, it was just incredible. Tennessee is my final one. I'm taking the Titans. Again, everything we said about the Titans before. I'm looking at the Colts injury report right now, and this is from yesterday's practice, Wednesday. Mo Alley-Cox did not practice. DeForest Buckner did not practice. Shaq Leonard, Quentin Nelson, Quiddy Pay, Tyquan Lewis. I mean, and we don't know about Jonathan Taylor. I don't think is going to play here, but he hasn't been ruled out yet by Shane Steichen, so I'm not sure what Jonathan Taylor's status is.
That Moss guy is good.
Zach Moss is quite good. I just like the Titans here. Again, I think this is a team that is not fun to watch. I don't know how much of their shellacking of the Bengals they can get credit for, because again, Burrow was not really mobile at all, but you got to give him some credit. And as we were talking about earlier, and Eric, I think, said it best, they are the opposite of whatever the Chargers are. They're the opposite of them. It's hard to watch and play. Just when you think they suck beyond belief, they come up with a great game. This was a team that was the number one seed in the AFC two seasons ago. And they didn't, that year they didn't have Derrick Henry for most of the year. They had other injuries. I can't, it slipped my mind right now.
They set the NFL record for most players to be active for a game in 2021. But, like, due to injuries.
Due to injuries, right. And then they sack Joe Burrow nine times in that game, and they still lose because Tannehill throws that horrible pick late. Anyway, getting back to the point, I don't think Indianapolis, despite their great comeback last week, was great, but they were down 23 points to the Rams before losing to them in overtime. I think Tennessee is the right side here, and those injuries for the Colts sort of makes it a slam dunk for me. So Tennessee is
Tennessee
my,
minus two, right? Is that what you have?
Tennessee minus two.
That's what bookmaker has.
Minus two. Correct. Minus two.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Here are three reasons Zyn is America's number one nicotine pouch. We use food-grade ingredients. We have a wide selection of varieties, and they all come in two strengths. Find Zyn at a store near you.
Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical.
Which brings us to our teaser of the week. If you had to play one two-leg, six-point teaser, Eric, what would it be this week?
Well, I think you have to go... I know Todd and I have argued about teasers before, so this might be fun, but I'm by the book, literally.
What did we argue about?
I don't think teasers are, and I don't want to kill this. I unless you tease through 3 and 7, I think teasers are quite overrated, right? So I'm gonna go with Colts up to 8.5. Is that right? Colts up to 8.5. And I'm going to go with Jets out to 7.5.
No, it'll be Colts up to 8.
Okay. Yeah, I'll do that still. And then I'll do Jets out to – yep. I'll do Jets out to 8.
Also to 8.
Yeah, out to 8. So two ones out to 8.
Wait, what do you mean Jets out to 8?
Jets are getting Jets. 2 right now, so they'd be getting 8.
Yeah, I'm 8.
I'm sorry, I was looking at the wrong week. That helps.
And then you get Colts. Pinnacle has Colts at plus 2.5, but it just depends upon the book. You try to get to 8.5, and then you're not going to get an 8.5 with the Jets, I don't think, but you can get them at 7.5, 8, which I think is good. So take those two.
I agree.
Were we arguing about that?
Yeah, I agree with you, Eric.
I think it was like 2 years ago, maybe like the first time we met. Like, I think you were doing like three-legged teasers, and I'm like, I was just like,
oh, that 10
I don't know.
Point
I don't know if there's enough like hours in the day for me to do those teasers.
did you leave that show, Eric, and where you're like, God, I'm never coming on that show again. Jesus, that guy.
You guys are delightful. No, it was fun. I just remember that was like the one point of contention during that first show I did with you guys.
Todd likes.
I did those 2 years ago. It's funny. I went 7-2 and I stopped doing them. But anyways, what were you going to say, Gilly?
Todd likes to scrap with the guests.
I like to scrap with everybody because otherwise it's just too bland. Everyone's just, oh yeah, I love your pick. No, I love your pick. No, your pick's nicer than my pick.
It was the old famous one with Dr. Bob where we thought you were impolite with Dr. Bob and he was like, ah, Todd's great.
Exactly.
Like, yeah, what else are you gonna say? All right. Will, what do you like?
Before we get to that, I do have we have Steve Fezzik live tweeting the Megapod. He asked me a question. I said, I'm doing the Megapod. And his response, Miami Dolphins, Miami Dolphins, Miami Dolphins number one. So
Oh,
that is
he wants a song. He wants you to sing, Todd. That's what he's saying.
I don't like when people prompt me to sing. That ruins, I was just reporting. It has to be spontaneous.
Anytime, by the way, anytime you can make is your best bet. A team favored by double digits at the worst possible number it's been all week, you have to, right? Like, good rep there, Steve.
No, he just wanted Todd to sing the Miami Dolphins fight song.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's funny because
by the way, Eric, one thing I remember all of us having a problem with you, one of the shows, but you ended up being right. We were all wrong, and you were actually right.
About?
It was the Kansas City Chiefs. You came on. The Kansas City Chiefs had looked like absolute dog crap.
No, that was
the
Aaron.
Entire season.
That was Aaron. Schatz. That was Aaron.
No,
Schatz.
It wasn't Aaron Schatz. It was Eric. I remember this 100%.
I think it was me because I'm a little biased. Like, I'm in Minnesota this week to watch the Chiefs, and I said, like, look, they're still number one in my power ratings, and you guys are all like, what the, you know, they end up hosting the conference title game again. That was still the worst Chiefs team of the Mahomes era. I don't think it's close either.
No, but I remember it specifically because the Chiefs looked so bad the first couple weeks, and we were all like, Eric, you're on crack, and you ended up being right on that one. So anyways. Hmm.
I do remember that. It's funny that I don't attribute that to Eric, that I attribute it to Aaron Schatz. Interesting. Okay. Yeah, we were mistaken on that one, for sure.
I'm going. It's me. I will go Texans, Falcons. I think that's a toss-up game. I'll take the Texans up to 8. I can go a few different ways here. I'll take the Jets up to 8.5. That should be a close game. Ugly, low scoring, like Todd said. So Jets, Texans will be the two-team teaser.
That is mine. So that is also mine. Texans, Jets.
Wait, let me. Texans plus 7.5 and Jets plus 8.
Mark me down for that one too, Toddy.
Okay, and so Gil takes the same one for his Will.
Which means, Will, you're toast on that one because I can't win any of these. Sorry. Apologize.
By the way, I've really liked how the Houston Texans have looked this year, but I do think that they have a comeuppance game, you know, on the road. They finally have some problems, even though I can't stand Atlanta. I just feel like this is the week that
you know what I think. Texans... I think you have a comeuppance game. That's what I think. I think you have a comeuppance game.
It's possible. It's possible. It's happened before. All right. Okay, I'm gonna take on my teaser. I'm gonna take the Jets too. I like the Jets plus the 8. I even though I don't believe in Mr. Zach Wilson, I still think they'll find a way to keep this game close. And then I'm going to, for my second teaser leg, I was thinking about the Saints. I don't trust them. I was thinking about the Houston is probably the way to go, but just because everybody already picked that, and Eric said that I like to do crazy teaser legs, which I almost rarely never do, I'm going to do a crazy teaser leg, and that is I'm going to take the Yinzers down at Acrisure, plus how many? You're getting 10.5 in a Ravens store game? Are you out of your mind? Stores plus 10.5 in that.
In that.
Wait, you're getting the 4.5 with Pitt. I'm seeing a lot of fours. I'd love to have the 4.5.
Oh, wait. Hang on. I see four and a half.
Yeah.
I get 4.5 on Pitt.
Yeah. So Will gets 4.5 on his Pittsburgh, and I'll take Pittsburgh plus 10.5, even though that's a whack-a-doodle teaser. But of course, everyone knows there's the new key number of 10.
All right, Survivor, as I mentioned, I think I'm taking the Washington Commanders because, again, the two Survivor entries that I have left out of my opening five happen to end up being the chalky ones. And so as a result of that, I got to take a shot here, and I got to be okay with running the plane into the side of the mountain losing on this. But I'm going to take Washington on both of mine. Are any of you in a Survivor? Eric, are you still alive in a Survivor, or do you ever play Survivor?
I had one with my group. I lost as many people did on the Jags against Houston.
Yes. So I think that's my play. And again, I've got confluence of events. Eberflus, Carolina last winless. So I'm hoping for a Washington win here.
By the way, can we ask Eric what he thinks about the Philadelphia Eagles giving up all those points to Washington? Because you do bring up Washington here. I want to hear what he thinks about that. I was very surprised that the Eagles allowed them to score as much as they did. What are your thoughts on Eagles defense?
Todd, good question. Who is the best team that Philly beat last year at full strength?
I'd have to look at the schedule, but did they beat Dallas?
Week 1, Detroit. right? They beat Dallas when Dallas was starting Cooper Rush.
That's right.
They beat the Niners when they had, you know, Christian McCaffrey playing running back. The Eagles lost both coordinators, and on defense, they got like career years out of James Bradbury, like a bunch of fluky stuff on that defense. I think that the Eagles are one of the, not, this sounds silly, but like one of the worst 4-0 teams that we've seen in a while. And I think defensively, it's especially bad. Kirk Cousins kind of did whatever he wanted to in week two against them in the second half of that game. Sam Howell, the same thing in the second half of this past game. I'm not saying they're going to be bad. They might still win that division, but like it's been an inauspicious start despite the record.
Do you think, here's my follow-up, do you think with like Philly and Cincinnati, Philly, they just on their choice decided not to play players in the preseason, and then Cincinnati obviously had the Burrow injury. But also as a result, like they didn't play guys. Do you think like, and both of those teams look completely different from what they were last year. And it feels like they can't recapture. I know it's only four games. Maybe they will. But it feels like both teams cannot recapture whatever magic.
You're putting the Bengals in the same category as the Eagles. I think that's a little far. I think the Bengals have been that kind of team. The Eagles haven't been that bad.
No, if you watch that game against Washington, like Jalen Hurts and the receivers were not really in sync either.
Yeah, it's a great question because, Gil, like, answer this because I think I said this on your show when I was in person in August. Who's the best NFC quarterback?
Jalen Hurts over Dak, I would say.
Yeah, see, I've maintained my truth, guys. Yeah. That Dak has been the best quarterback in the NFC for 2 years. It's just that we got a blip from Jalen Hurts.
Interesting.
And like,
interesting.
I think that it's probably like you take away some. He looks slow. Like the Tampa Bay game. I went to that Eagles Vikings game in person. He looked. Like he doesn't turn the corner the same way he used to. He's always been a deliberate processor, but guys are so wide open last year, it didn't matter. I think that you're just seeing kind of the water level stabilize for the Eagles as a good, like very good, like an NFC good team. But like not, I mean, we're not, I don't think that they're like this juggernaut. Like, and last year they had a lot of impressive wins, but you know. I mean, Washington went 8-8, 8-8-1 last year with a similar schedule. New York, we talk about how bad the Giants are. That team went 9-7-1 with that schedule last year. Like, I think things are getting fairer for the Eagles, and we're starting to see like questions pop up that I think are natural for them.
It's pretty interesting.
So now,
go ahead, Todd. So
my follow up, and the reason I bring up this thing about the Eagles, because I agree with you. I think the Eagles' defense. And their offense doesn't look as good either, but I wanted to see what you had to say. So you're confirming my doubts on the Eagles. And the reason I bring this up is because the Detroit Lions, I think they're better than people realize. And I don't know if they can beat the Niners on the NFC, but I think they could pull an upset against the Eagles. Do you think that the Lions are maybe one of those what do they call those teams that are like what's the word I'm looking for, Gil?
Yeah, like sleeper. You know, sleeper, I think I said Lions sleeper. Bills is my Super Bowl pick. Did I not when I came to your show?
Yes, you did.
I didn't even know that. So you agree with me that the Lions look a lot better than people realize?
Yeah, I mean, they're not perfect. When your quarterback's Jared Goff, it's kind of like Dak, right? Dak's an amazing quarterback who five times a year goes six innings, gives up nine runs, right? Like, that's who he is. And I think Goff has had that game against Seattle where he threw the pick six and stuff. The defense is a lot better. If they stay healthy, I think Detroit is like firmly in the second tier of the NFC. But like the playoffs are noise, right? LA wasn't the best team in the NFC 2 years ago. Like I think Detroit very, very well could steal. And especially in a division where Minnesota stinks, Chicago stinks, Green Bay is maybe okay at best. They just kicked their ass. So like, you look at San Francisco having to play with Seattle, Dallas and Philly playing against each other. Like, I think there's a path to the one seed even for the Detroit Lions, even if they're not the best team in the NFC.
Yeah, I laid -200 with the Lions to win that division. I think Minnesota's probably about to be 1-4. Chicago, you can cross off. They just won in Green Bay. The Lions did. I mean, that people don't want to lay -200 and tie up their money for all these months, but I could see that being like -600 in a few weeks.
That feels.
Well, I laid 170.
That feels. Right, yeah, that feels
look
like
at
a,
you.
Look at you.
Better than you.
That feels
Point
like
is
a
I'm better.
That feels like a better bet than everybody who took Jacksonville pre-flop to win the AFC South at least right at the moment, that looks like a better bet. By the way, back to Philly for a second. So if they call the Terry McLaurin overtime catch differently, which they probably should have because I saw green in between his toe and the line, maybe Washington beats Philly. Remember the first game of the year, they had that big lead against New England, which they got largely on turnovers, then almost gacked that game, probably should have gacked that game against Minnesota, against New England. And think about what we know about New England now. Minnesota, they won by one score. And then even Tampa Bay, which they beat by 17. If you remember, until the very end of the first half, that game was nip and tuck. And then Philly got that third
and long. By the
way,
the Vikings game, you forgot. The guy fumbled at the one-yard line at the end of the half. That would have been a completely different game.
You're right. I did forget the details of that. You're right. Yes, it would have been. So to Eric's point about the Eagles, before we get to the final two questions, I want to ask Eric one last question, which is, through 4 weeks, I'm not going to ask you about what your priors were most wrong on because there's still a lot to play out, but what are the teams that you feel like you have the least handle on through 4 weeks? Like you're like, I still don't know what this team is. I don't know if they're good. I don't know if they're bad. I don't know what.
I'm pretty sure Miami's good, but I don't know if they're under a field goal underdog in Buffalo good. So that's the one team when I made my numbers for week four, it before week three, I remember writing down in my notes, like, I'm too low on Miami. And then ultimately I felt good about, you know, they go 70 points and then they lose to Buffalo. I think that Miami's a team that always flummoxes me for the exact same things we just talked about earlier in the show, which is like, I don't know, like there's a breaking point. There's a threshold with Tua Tagovailoa where if he's playing a team like he's playing this week, I think he's going to fillet them. But if he's playing a real team, like we've always seen him crumble. So that's a team that I'm a little like, I don't know where that line is. Like, what is the threshold? Because he can clearly roast a good Chargers team, but he can't a Bills team. So where is that line?
That's the line is where he is extremely volatile. I agree he's going to beat the crap teams. But when he goes against a good team, he takes it in the keister. He's really not that elite at all.
There it is. Steve Fezzik's request coming through. All right, final two questions. By the way, is there another team besides Miami, or is that the one that you would seize on? There's not any other team that you like? You're like, I have
Eric,
no idea.
How about the Colts? Aren't they kind of like very hard to figure out?
Yeah, they're hard to figure out, but I think that we knew, like, Shane Steichen made Justin Herbert Rookie of the Year and Jalen Hurts Super Bowl quarterback. Anthony Richardson's the combination of both those guys at the best. So we knew that this was like the Colts could be spunky this year. Everybody in that division's 2-2. That makes sense to me, honestly. I'm trying to think of the team I can't figure out. Green Bay is a team I can't figure out. Like I think that everybody sharp square, anybody like Green Bay going into the year weirdly. Right. And I think that like we're verified in the fact they're probably better than a 7.5 win team, but like how much better is a real question, I think.
Yeah. I think you could have answered like with a quarter of the league to that question.
Uh-huh. Sure.
Yeah.
And I have an irrational hate for Jordan Love, so I don't think they're good.
All right. Final two questions. First one, which of the big favorites is the most likely to lose outright? We'll do two double digits here and a couple north of six. One, let's take the Commanders. The Commanders are 6 right now, hosting the Bears tonight on Thursday Night Football. The Lions are 10-point favorites at home, hosting the Panthers. The Dolphins are 12-point favorites or thereabouts, hosting the Giants. And the only other one, again, that's anywhere close to that. Are those the only three that are above 6?
Chiefs is 4.
Minnesota was plus 6, but then that got bet down. Minnesota in Kansas City was plus 6.
Well, I hope Washington's not the automatic answer here, but if it's between Washington hosting the Bears, the Dolphins hosting the Giants, and the Lions hosting the Panthers, who's the most likely to lose outright? Eric?
Of these teams, I just sang the praise. It is Washington, right?
It is Washington,
But I could see Detroit losing this game, right? Like Detroit, you know, kind of got run all over by Carolina last year with the chance to make the playoffs in December. I think that they handle business. They've been very professional in their wins over the past 2 weeks, and frankly against the Chiefs in week one. But Yeah, I just probabilistically, I could see any of these teams losing, but I think Washington's obviously the most likely.
Yeah, Washington for me, for sure. Will, Washington?
Definitely Washington. Wonky Thursday night game. Fields maybe can go crazy.
Yeah.
Washington.
Yeah, I got him in Survivor. Dodd, Washington?
I'll agree.
Yeah. It's kind of an unfair question because they're almost half the spread, but yeah, that's them. Okay.
Eric, do you do any in-game stuff, Eric?
I have in the past, for sure. Especially, like, I mean, you're going to get to my real degeneracy, CFL. The books do not price in-game there nearly as well.
Really?
But yeah, NFL too. I mean, you have to, yeah, I mean, that's part of it. And the NFL is so spiky that, like, there's so many opportunities to, like, get off a bad bet in-game.
I didn't know you were betting Canadian Football League in-game. Really? Is the why do you think the in-game is not as efficient in CFL?
Well, the rouge is like one thing. So like points don't pile up at 7-3 as much. Like they do for sure, but they're key numbers, but it's not nearly as much. And you know, and the data availability thing is it's same thing with like WNBA. I remember like 5 years ago there was a game where like Candace Parker got hurt. And the books clearly didn't adjust. And so you're like, you're just hammer. You just shear sheep a million times, you skin it once. Like you take that opportunity to like lose an account to make a few, to make a big time amount of money on something like that. The CFL is similar, right? Like, it's just not quite as sharp for sure.
Todd, do you have any WNBA bets for us, by the way? Just curious.
Yeah, I have. Let me tell you what you should do. Wait until I say what to do and then go the other way. Because even if I have a game where I need 11 points in 8 minutes of one quarter, only 11, by the way, it's not a lot, I won't get it.
That was one of the, and it's such a random thing because it was a third quarter of a random WNBA playoff game, but that was one of the more improbable losses in the history of betting. It really was.
First of all, let me tell you something about the WNBA. The girls make free throws better than the NBA. Their percentage is higher than NBA players on free throws. The only time they don't make free throws is late in a quarter when I need them to make free throws.
Yeah.
They somehow find a way. Girls who are shooting 91% from the line all of a sudden can't make
free throws. You needed 11 points in 8 minutes and you got 10. Was that the Connecticut Sun.
Is a good offensive team.
Yeah.
A good offensive team, just so you know. By the way, Eric, I was so hot early in WNBA season, and then about like a quarter of the way in, I could not win a bet, and I had so many of these ridiculous losses, and Gilly was saw one of the last ones.
No, I jumped on it with you, so I experienced it too. I was like, this cannot
happen. The Atlanta Dreams, like, utter and complete inability to do what's expected of them, like, ruined basically anybody I know's WNBA season.
Really?
Yeah. I moved to Atlanta. Like, Tanisha Wright getting WNBA Coach of the Year votes shows you that, like, the league is not ready for prime time yet. Like, it's just, I've had a similar experience just looking at my models. Like, early season, great. For whatever reason, like, halfway through the year, there was one or two teams that just decided to be noise every single night, and Atlanta was one of them.
Yeah, it's a fun league, though. I know, like, when I first started betting at WNBA, I was like, oh, you're going to bet on girls basketball? What are you, crazy? It's actually a fun league. You know, like, I know all the teams now.
I know who runs. Yeah,
I quite enjoy it.
The halves are only an hour long, which, like, I think is quite a good value proposition. Is if you're, like, everybody wants immediacy, right? That's why you live bet. Like, so, but if the whole game is only 2 hours long, it's actually, like, a low-maintenance affair as well if you actually want to sweat the games. So.
Yeah, I quite.
And there's also the only bad part, there's not enough commercials to get on the live betting. That's, like, the good part about college basketball is you always get that 16-minute, the 12-minute, the 8-minute, the 4-minute. You know you're getting a timeout. In the WNBA, you don't get that many commercials, and even when you do, they're, like, haphazard. So it's much harder to get in on good numbers.
No one likes
that. Like a month away from college, right? College, usually that first week of November, we start getting those random tournaments.
November 12th. I believe it's November 12th is the first game this year, or November 10th. Oh, I love that college basketball, baby. I need it to save me because Things have not been going well.
I am not ready for hockey in 2 days, nor NBA in 2 weeks. Like, it just seems like.
But how can they even bring the seasons back? October for hockey and basketball, it's not even the same season.
The NBA finals feels like it ended 4 weeks ago. Like, it's just, I cannot believe they're starting again. Okay, buys this week, Cleveland, the Chargers, the Seahawks, and the Buccaneers, our first buys of the week. So we have 14 games, bizarro exercise. You must bet a side in 13 of the 14, but you get one free pass, Eric. What is the game you want absolutely no part of?
New Orleans, New England.
I love that one.
Two quarterbacks. I'm a Chiefs fan. I hate Derek Carr. And now that he's out of the division, I hate him even more. I cannot stand Derek Carr. And I can't stand that he waltzed out there last week while every sharp bettor in the world had them -3. You ruined everybody's weekend by playing that week over Jameis, who's better than him when he's hurt. And then New England, it's the same thing. It's like Belichick. Belichick's lost his fastball, right? And then now we got to watch Mac Jones throw from one hash to the other hash and get pick sixed every other game.
That
so
bad.
It's awful. That game, I don't want to watch that game.
I'm with you. Will?
Not a big fan of laying 10 with Detroit. I don't want to take Carolina. Carolina, Detroit's a pretty easy pass for me.
Toddy?
I'm going to agree with you guys on the Saints and the Patriots. By the way, has Mac Jones ever proven the played with the greatest college team of all time, and that's why I looked good in college situation? Yeah. Mac Jones.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Feels like that.
He looks like the kind of guy they could put out there on the kickoff team for Houston Texans. He could run one back on maybe an up back situation.
Jeez. I would choose Saints Patriots, but I actually think, and it's lined this way, right? So it's not that clever of a choice. But I think that Monday night game between the Packers and the Raiders, you could tell
that
me any
second choice.
Yeah, you could tell me anything about that game and I'd believe you. Like, oh, that happened? Okay, sure. Because I don't know if I have my head wrapped around either of those two teams, quite frankly.
Which sucks because it's a standalone game, so we have to bet it. So that makes it different.
Right. We are legally required. We're contractually obligated to bet it. The Raiders thing is interesting, too, because the Josh McDaniels thing, like I mentioned that what Brent said last week. Brent was like, just watch, lad. No one's around Josh McDaniels on the sidelines. It's a really interesting thing to look at. Like, there's nobody around him. And Josh McDaniels, I don't know if you've ever seen, like, the Instagram or the TikTok conspiracy theory with him. He was 6-0 to start his career as a head coach, and he was found to have been cheating with the videotaping. And then since,
oh, really?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, this is a whole thing.
One of his players outed him, right? One of his Denver guys, Brandon Marshall, I want to say. One of his Broncos guys.
Brandon Marshall was the host of the
Spygate,
show.
Right? Was that the thing that precipitated then looking back at the Patriots, too?
Oh, I didn't know that was before the Patriots thing, was it? Oh, interesting. Yeah, I think you're right.
It might be. Don't quote me on that, but he was part of Spygate, too. He was one of the coaches.
So he started his coaching career. Remember, this was with Denver back in the day, 6-0. Since then, his win-loss record as a head coach is 12-31. Whoever the player was on that Broncos team, the way he tells the story is, he said, when Josh McDaniels was first our coach, he goes, I've never been with a coach on any level that was that prepared for any situation in any game. He was like, if they're in that formation, you sprint to the sideline because the pass is going to go there. Like, and then he found out they were cheating. They were videotaping all the opponents. And he says, of course, no one's that good. So it's, I don't know. And that's why, getting back to the Raiders and Packers, I have no idea how good either team is.
And this is what's so great about the Twitter world now, where you have these like podcasts with these former athletes. Like, I was watching Marshawn Lynch the other day with Shepard, like on a clip on Twitter, and he's talking about how he didn't even have Russell Wilson's phone number. And you're just like, oh, so it's like, yeah, they didn't like Russell Wilson. You get all this like inside stuff, you know, or you see the NBA guys with Matt Barnes will talk about like somebody, you know, with Jordan and or something. It's just very interesting stuff. You get these like backdoor stories.
For sure. And that one with Josh McDaniels is interesting as they come. Appreciate it. We've done all we can do. Will Hill from the Bear Bets Pod with Chris Velika at Fox Sports. How's that going? All good, Will? You like it?
Going really well. Yeah. College episode just dropped. NFL one tomorrow. So Bear Bets podcast. Yeah.
You got to talk more because Wishnev's not on that one, right? Is that what?
Exactly.
And Todd Wishnev from his mom's living room in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Thank you, Todd.
I'm going to ignore that. I'm going to ignore that shot that was just taken at me.
Okay.
There.
That's probably a good way to
at
go.
T. Wishnev at Twitter.
At T. Wishnev. Are you accumulating people for college basketball season? Are you doing that?
Yeah, I'm accumulating. I'm losing right now in college football, you know, but whatever. I mean, not a lot, but it's still not good.
No, what I'm saying, are you like inviting people to tweet at you and join your...
I still have some spots left in my WhatsApp, like in-game shootout stuff, but not that many.
All right. And Dr. Eric Eager at Eric Eager _ on Twitter. He works at Sumer Sports. And what's the name of the podcast, Eric?
The Sumer Sports Show with Eric Eager and Thomas Dimitroff.
Thomas Dimitroff, former GM of the Atlanta Falcons. That's awesome. How many times a week do you put that out?
We do Monday and Wednesday. Me and Thomas just talk about NFL topics. And then Friday, I do the show by myself where I kind of preview games and all that good stuff. So every other day during the week.
I thought when you said you and Thomas on NFL Monday, Wednesday, I thought you were going to say, and on Friday, I talk about whatever the hell I want to talk about. Like, I thought it was going to be like, and now Eric Eager on the WNBA. Which would be awesome. By the way, I had no idea you were doing WNBA and CFL. My respect level for you is already
Edmonton,
high.
He had an Edmonton Elks Atlanta Dream parlay.
I love Eric to begin with. Now it's just tremendous. All right, guys.
BC Lions tonight. BC, I think, is a good play.
Washington Commanders, please just win a football game for me, please, because I'd like to still be alive in Survivor. Thanks to everyone listening. I'm always amazed by the downloads. Thank you so much. We're humbled by that. Good luck with all your bets. Week 5 in the National Football League.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.